My guest is Bob Woodward. We're talking about his new book, The War Within, and it covers what went on behind the scenes in the White House from 2006 to 2008 in terms of the strategy in Iraq. And it's about the conflicts over Iraq within the White House and the military. You've been interviewing President Bush for your books for years now. Your first book was about the Bush White House after September 11th. I mean, your first book about the Bush administration. How has President Bush's tone changed in your interviews with him over the years?
In the early interviews and the speeches after 9/11, there was this resolution: we are determined, we will not give up a certainty. He has retained that certainty about the Iraq war in many ways, but you see it's worn him down, that he is not the goals he set for himself, which he told me about in 2001. We're going to end terrorism. We're going to unify the country. Those things plainly have not happened. And it's not surprising that it has taken a toll. It has taken a toll. And there is a kind of, whenever he mentions winning, he immediately corrects himself to say succeeding, that the high expectations that we were going to export a kind of Western democracy to the Middle East, the bar has been lowered on that significantly. At the same time, things are better in Iraq now than they have been in years, and there's grounds for some optimism. But anyone who knows that area of the world and has dealt with the surprises and the nature of the country and the deep embedded hostility between the Shia and the Sunnis knows that anything can happen almost at any time.
You asked President Bush about how the military decided to go along with the troop surge after being reluctant to do it. And President Bush said, "Okay, I don't know this. I'm not in those meetings. You'll be happy to hear because I got other things to do." Were you surprised to hear him say that?
Yes, I was. And there is a kind of ambivalence that he reflects that I found more than surprising. He says he's working on this all of the time, and then he makes it very clear, like on the issue of how many brigades to send in the surge, which whether it's going to be 2 or 5 is a big deal. And Hadley says, well, the discussion and the kind of landing on 5 brigades comes out of Hadley's discussions with General Pace, who was then chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And president's listening to this as I'm interviewing him in the Oval Office, and he says, well, I don't know that. I'm not in those meetings, you'll be glad to hear. As I say in the book, there were points where Hadley was acting as a kind of de facto Secretary of Defense, and as the president says, Hadley was driving lots of this. For the president to not be in that meeting it is very surprising.
You've been immersed in the secret history of the Bush administration for years now. What are some of the things that you're finding frustrating listening to the presidential campaigns and how they're addressing the war?
Well, in a sense, they aren't addressing it that much because it's complex. But there has to be an acknowledgement of the immense responsibility that is coming down on the next commander in chief, and that it's something I hope. And there's been a tradition of this that they will both be given intelligence briefings and updates by the Bush administration. So when one of them becomes president, they will have at least some knowledge about it. But it doesn't, it's not, the next stage of this war is not going to be resolved by party doctrine, either Republican or Democrat. It's not going to be resolved with slogans or simple ideas. It is going to be resolved by somebody being the CEO, the commander-in-chief, who takes charge and figures out where we go and how this gets resolved. And no one can see the future. So much of the news is good, but the people who know the most have the most hesitancy about defining that next stage. So it's going to be on the next president's head, and it is a giant, big deal. And it's not something that can be put off. It's going to be on the desk immediately when the new commander-in-chief takes office.
I think there's a sense in the country now that, you know, President Bush is largely an unpopular president now. And in some ways, it's like the conversation has moved on. It's about, you know, Obama and McCain now and who's going to win. And I think, you know, a lot of people have aren't thinking that much about President Bush. They're thinking about the presidential campaign. You have found so many problems within the Bush administration and a fair amount of deception in terms of what he knew and what he told the American public. And I guess I'm wondering if you think there's a level of accountability that we have to reckon with. Like, what? How do you hold a president accountable for not only policy that has gone wrong, but for having deceived the American public about how the war was going?
All of this is done in the tradition of, I guess, would be called accountability reporting. You try to find out as much as you can, and you tell people what really happened, what was said, what this document was, what that intelligence report was. And the accountability comes in elections for a president who is leaving office. The accountability comes in history.
Well, Bob Woodward, thank you so much for talking with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Terry.
Bob Woodward's new book is called The War Within, A Secret White House History, 2006 to 2008. Jazz vibraphonist Bobby Hutcherson recorded steadily for the Blue Note label between 1963 and 1977. Like other artists favored by that supportive label, he got to record in varied settings, with or without horns, with background singers, or strings. A 1971 Hutcherson session, orchestrated with reeds and flutes and multiple percussion, has just been reissued. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead says, it's just crazy enough to work.
Bobby Hutcherson's vibes sound like they're wandering in a fog there, a metaphor for the predicament established jazz musicians faced in the early 70s. They were unsure which way led to daylight. With mainstream jazz dipping in popularity, should they stick with what they know, move toward the avant-garde, get funky, or do something classy with an orchestra? For Bobby Hutcherson, the answer was all of the above. That's Togo Land from Bobby Hutcherson's Head On, recorded for Blue Note in 1971 and just reissued with plenty of extra material from the same sessions. It's a portrait of jazz in transition, masterminded by classical, R&B, pop, and jazz composer Todd Cochran, who wrote most of it and put his stamp on all of it. His elaborate orchestrations upstage the star only a little. Thank you. Todd Cochran's writing for woodwinds can be lush, but headliner Bobby Hutcherson cuts through, especially when he switches from vibes to hardwood marimba. Years earlier, he'd been an avant-garde hero for his heroically clanky vibes on Eric Dolphy's Out to Lunch. Here he comes on like the John Coltrane of the marimba, playing whatever he can squeeze in. A smart orchestrator like Todd Cochran knows to get a band out of a soloist's way. Other key players are tenor saxophonist Harold Land, who charges straight down the middle when he gets the green light, and electric pianist William Henderson, whose shiny, percussive sound reinforces Hutcherson's mallet work. These biggish bands have a heavy bottom, featuring three or four drummers and percussionists, not even counting percussive pianos and vibes. Some music is beautiful because it's conceptually clear. Boogie Woogie or the Sex Pistols. You can hear what it's about right away. But Bobby Hutcherson's album, Head On, wants to be commercial and a little out there at the same time. That mix of funk and free jazz owes a lot to Miles Davis, but the sweet orchestrations give it a different flavor. In the early 70s, other jazz musicians made records desperately mixing together anything they thought might sell. Most of that stuff leaves me cold. But this bowl of porridge is just right.
Kevin Whitehead is currently on leave from teaching English and American Studies at the University of Kansas, and he's a jazz columnist for eMusic.com. He reviewed Head On, the 1971 session recorded by jazz vibraphonist Bobby Hutcherson, which has been reissued on the Blue Note label.